Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Oh Lord God, that you would bless your word and make your word cut to our hearts. And Lord, change those things that need to be changed. For we're all on a journey. We are here in this world, but we are not of this world. We have limited time, and what we do with Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in this life on earth determines what will happen eternally to us. We thank you, Lord, that today, being the day of the Lord, that we can be in the house of the Lord, strong enough, healthy enough to be just here. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now bless your word to our hearts. Amen. God bless you all. You may all take your seats. Great to see such a great crowd of people here during the first service. Church looks very full from up here. And I want to just do one or two things that I want to talk about. The first thing I want to say is that, I wonder if Phillips at the back could just, this is not part of the sermon, but put up that image for me at the bank. When I was in my student years after university, I was in the AFM Theological College. There was a man with me, he was a pastoral psychologist, wanted me to do the same thing with him. And he always spoke about what Dr. Hannes Jonker, that's him, he spoke about this image of Gulliver's Travel. And you see how, you can't see it so very clear on this picture, but these small little people all around him had tied down this giant when he was busy sleeping, and now they're giving him a little bit of water, and he is just taken down with ropes. Do you see that image? Do you see that image? Now, Dr. Hannes Jonker used to say, that's exactly the body of Christ in South Africa. Very much, much of the body of Christ asleep, prayerless, not committed to God, committed to everything else, but they're asleep. And if you can wake up the body of Christ in South Africa, we will both have a revival and the entire future of the country will be changed like that. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you, Philip. Hallelujah. Now, this past week, another thing about the body of Christ, what they advertised there, that last couple was one of our orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Victor and his wife. They're both doctors also. And they're testifying of home cell leading. And I told you I would lead a home cell. Well, I had a event this past week, Tuesday night. I had to go to the young adults event that took place to get them on the road. And now this week coming on Tuesday night, I am starting as a home cell leader. Maybe there's going to be promotion for me. I'm not interested in that. But I think that we can run a home cell after all these years. And so let everybody be in a home cell and be there together with us. The other thing quickly is to say to you that Saturday mornings, this past Saturday, I did a test run with the internet. The Saturday morning prayer meeting immediately goes live. And we ask every man, every woman, every person that can help us pray to be here on Saturday morning. And now it's going live so that I could also inform the rest of the body of Christ that if they want to join in, they can join in. That giant has got to wake up. Amen. You see that giant and the tiny little people? That's how those people, like demons, string someone to the earth and the world system. Daleye, yes, no, eight oxiate. Bound all together by stuff connected to the world. Can you just think about that? And so that giant woke up with a mishap there. He'd been bound by little gilibinki people that were around him, tiny little, what do you say, like little midgets in comparison with him. And that's how demons work. They set up traps in every direction. People get bogged down and they wist not the power of God that is in their lives and available to them. Can you give the Lord a praise offering? Amen. Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10. Openbaring 12 verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. The kingdom, the eternal kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him. In other words, literally, they conquered him. They overcame him by conquering the devil. How did they do that? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And we know the testimony is the testimony. The same book of Revelation tells us the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And they did not love their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that as a short time, and indeed that word short in the Greek, if I remember it right, just let me check here, it says, knows that he has a short time, oligos, a little different from takos, those two words that says very brief period in time. And the devil knows his time is running out by the day. And people get bound down to the world and worldly things and stuff. And, you know, young people, I saw them Tuesday night here. A sewer. And you're my age. And it's a reality that you must wake up to. Because to me, it's like yesterday. It's like, wow, Lord, those years went by. Like 40, 50 years of, wow. You know, it's like that. Yesterday, sitting in university, now here. Yesterday, sitting in a theological college, whatever, now here. Now all the road behind. And you've done all this work for the Lord. And you realize how short time is to get bogged down by the world system is not on for the Christians. Be careful that you don't get tied down by the things that you get involved with. And so let's look at this here, where the Lord says, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Now I said that which unlocks the glory of God in our lives is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The power of the blood of Jesus. Even the blood covenant of the Lamb of God. Jesus, by the power of his blood, has given to us the freedom, the liberty. We are in a position of authority and power, having been bought by the blood of Jesus. And when we face the devil, I remember those years where we cast out many demons. Those days in the tent, there was quite a thing. We used to pray and fast for long periods of time. And there was just a move of God. And many demons were cast out at that time. Quite an astounding amount. They just kept coming out, people coming forward, they manifest that we set them free with the help of the Lord. But you know, I remember one man, and I stood in front of him, and not just one actually, I'm just thinking my mind is going fast here. And I saw a few, that the moment you say, I honor the blood of Jesus. Say, Jesus is Lord. Nobody could say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Say, Jesus is Lord. You can't say it. There's the first sign. I say, I honor the blood of Jesus. Can't say that. I honor the blood of Jesus. Would you raise both your hands and say, I honor the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, and the everlasting covenant that he has with me. Can you say amen? Give Jesus a praise offering. So, I'm going to move swiftly and even surprisingly fast. In Matthew 26, 28, you can write this down or get the tape afterwards or recording online. For this is my blood, the cup, this is my blood of the new covenant. The new covenant. The new covenant, which was shed for the remission of sins. That word remission is forgiveness, freedom, release from the bondage of sin. Blood of Jesus breaks bondage, releases you into true liberty, and sets you in a plane where you can live and breathe freely, for he has paid for you with his blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we're in church today. I was thinking in this weekend that, you know, even when you talk about the blood of Jesus, you know, without being washed in the blood of Jesus, what would my faith life be like? It would be like, you know, people in the world, they might say, I believe this is going to happen or that or the other, but there's nothing in it. But once having been washed in the blood of Jesus, part of the body of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, name written in the book of life, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I pray the prayer of faith, and the mountains are moved. Can you say amen to that? And again, Mark 20:14-24. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Luke 22:20. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 11:25, we had this morning. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. In the Hebrew, they would talk about Bereshit Hadashah. That is the new covenant. This is the everlasting covenant, which is going to take us through into everlasting life. Just this morning, I was captured by a scripture, which I'll get to reading in a moment's time. But I want you to know that the Bible talks about Hebrews chapter 13:20. Take one from the New Testament here. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20, brought him up from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. How? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He was the first begotten from the dead. By the power of his blood, he was brought up out of the dead. And so we know this word called covenant. Now, maybe I'll just give you a little bit of reading here. And this here from one of the dictionaries, I thought, well, okay, you know, just copy it like this. I suppose one could just explain it like that, but I want to be into something else now. A covenant is an agreement, says the Anchor Bible Dictionary and Commentary, is an agreement enacted between two parties in which one or both make promises under oath to perform or to refrain from certain actions as stipulated in advance. The word covenant in the Bible is a major metaphor, a beknopte vergelijking, used to describe the relationship between God and his people. It's the very foundation of your and my life. It's because we're in covenant with God that we are here. If we're out of covenant with God, we'll be seeking. And maybe those people come then to church and they will find. And the moment they step into covenant with God, you step into eternity. Quite right, what Mort was saying this morning, this is not just for here. From the moment you had your meeting with God, your encounter with God, you gave your life to Jesus, you went into eternity. You're as old as you are spiritually. That's why the Bible, in the Amplified Bible, talks about spiritual maturity. So it is a metaphor. And then it says, on the one hand, I just want to read this for you, the English word covenant itself has largely fallen into disuse. The fragile institution of marriage remaining the most noteworthy vestige of such relationships. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to skip a lot of things purposely here because I want to get to something yet else. And I want you to go to Genesis chapter 15:1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. In a vision. Saying, Genesis 15:1, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to that man, Abraham, and said to him, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body, he will be your heir. Then he brought him outside. He says, now look up Take a look at the stars. That was one starry night. I promise you, God made sure everything was clear for him. There was no smoke in the air like in our days. And look towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And he believed God, and he accounted it to him unto righteousness. He believed unto righteousness. Faith takes you into righteousness. Faith in Jesus Christ and no other name given under heaven but the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? And then in Genesis 15 verse 7. And he said to him, I'm the Lord who brought you out of Ur, which means Ur in Hebrews is actually Aramaic. It's Ur, which means fire of the Chaldeans. In Aramaic, that means fire of the demons. Isn't that quite classic there? Marshall's Bible handbook catches that very well. I brought you out of the fire of the demons. Like that statue tied down there. God says, I'm bringing you out of that bondage. And I'm bringing you into the promised land. Now, and I've given you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer. Now this is some animals, and a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. That he brought all these to him, and he cut them in two, down in the middle, and he placed each piece opposite the other. That is now cut in two pieces, one on this side, and the other one on the other side. And he did so, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down at that time on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. When you are coming into covenant with God, remember, the vultures here signify demons that would try to stop you from getting into a good, strong, covenantal kingdom of God relationship. Can you say amen? Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, verse 12. And behold, horror and a great darkness fell on him. And he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not there, that not theirs, and will serve them, and will afflict them 400 years. Certainly is the word. And also, the nation whom they serve, I will judge, and God did. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, watch this. You shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good age. Go to your fathers in peace. I was looking at that this morning and I thought to myself, God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. The Lord Jesus said so. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living. You'll go to your fathers. So they live on. Everlasting life is a reality. But in the fourth generation they shall return you for the iniquity of the Amorites yet complete. Now, let me just pick up my situation. 15:17. It came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that behold there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch, smoking oven, burning torch, flame of fire that passed between those pieces. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your descendants I have given this land. I'm going to take it up to there. That is the time when God made a covenant with Abraham, because Abraham was the man of faith. You can read a very good chapter on just this point in Romans chapter number 4. What did Abraham, our father, according to the faith, find? And so we know that we are the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3 verse 29. You'll find that if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed and joint heirs according to the promise. 3 verse 7. We know that those who are of faith are the sons, the children of Abraham. So God made a covenant with him. This is the Abrahamic covenant. After that happened, exactly what happened. They went out and they went out of Egypt. And of course, under the hand of Moses, the law was given. And then they were in covenant through Moses with the law of Moses. They were practicing now obedience to God. And we know the law was a tutor unto Christ when the redemption has come through the power of the blood of Jesus and the work on the cross. Now, having said that, I want to say to you that there are certain things that are with covenants, and I'm going to move on. with this because I want to get to a piece of scripture here, which I think is very important. If you just give me a moment, somehow or another, I have possibly lost it. But it does not really matter that much because it is here. The word covenant is a concept, it's a term. It is a contract, it is an agreement, it is the highest form possible of agreement that can be entered into. In my university days, we learned in my lectures that when you talk about a divine covenant, it is a unilateral pact, because God comes and he makes a covenant with us through the power of the blood of Jesus. And you know, when we say you have nothing, what have we got to offer God when he owns everything in any way, including us? So what have we got? Sin. What have we got? Problems. What have we got? Our defense system is not good enough in any way with all the evil going on in the world. What have we got to offer God except to say, we give our hearts to you, we believe in Jesus, get filled with the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus. Now we become part of the bride of Christ. Everybody say the bride of Christ. Now, to say this to you, that a covenant involves blessings and curses, disobedience and obedience. I'm not going to get to that. A covenant involves exchange of defense systems. We're defenseless, so God makes the armor of God available to us. We overcome the devil now through faith and our covenant with Jesus, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. But I'm yet moving forward, and I'm saying the most obvious still covenant, apart from God's covenant, I'm going to do what Jesus did. When Jesus was there with the people, he told them parables out of everyday life. So I'm going to take a covenant, and that covenant that I'm going to use here is marriage. So we're going to dive straight into covenant marriage. When we are a married couple, a husband, a man, and a woman. When these two get united, Genesis 1, 26, 27, and so 2. It's actually the last verses of chapter number 2. It tells you that therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall cling to his wife. And these two shall become one flesh. Now, having said that, I want to say that a covenant runs much deeper than most married couples would ever be able to understand. Because if you study the scripture, you see why there are problems in marriages. Because we go into a marriage instead of like going in with God. Say, Lord, here I am. Everything I am, everything I have, it belongs to you. In a marriage, people get married. And excuse me, but I have been married now over 50 years, quite over 50. What's it, 53 this year? 52, 53. We're pushing for 60, more than I now. Amen. And I tell you what, I went into this marriage and decaboodle everything I have, I gave to her. And everything she had, she gave to me. Now, there were no secrets between the two of us, but she was the one I wanted to take over the financial responsibilities. She's sharp with that. I couldn't be bothered about that. Just give me the word all the time. I was busy with the word of God till this day. But everything from day one, it's the way I grew up. No secrets in a marriage, total transparency, total honesty, total faithfulness and loyalty. And so you enter into a marriage. I now have the responsibility of protecting her. Can you say amen? I have the responsibility of working with her. Now, in my case, it was so that I said always, like with my father and my mother, I said, my wife needs to stay at home and I'll take care of the income. As a married couple, I'll take care of the income. This is a marriage covenant. I give her protection. She takes care of other things. I take care of certain things. I make sure there's bread and there's water in the house and there's a roof over our heads and there's the provision for the children. Right from day one, decision made. Boom, like that. Even when we came into Christ, the decision was just much strengthened. Netzua. So I tell you one thing. Maud knows our personal will and testament better than what I know it. Because I trust her that much. There's not a secret financially, academically you may say, assets, whatever, that she is not fully in the picture. She has to inform me, say this is the way it works. So a marriage is a covenant when you receive into holy matrimony, a couple. If the one person in that couple is funny, not lekker, will God know about that marriage? Yes, he'll know about it. Will he bless that marriage? If it's two people out of sorts with God, they're going to do it the Frank Sinatra way, we'll do it our way. Or we'll do our own principles of value systems and holiness and purity according to our understanding, and we'll twist the word ultimately to our own destruction in that case. When you get married, this thing runs deep. I remember a cousin of mine who was going out with a young lady and she fell pregnant. And he wanted to run away immediately. And his mother got hold of him and said, if you leave that woman, you're not going to be alive for very long after that. Because I'll chase you down. I'll get you. You have to be faithful to that woman because you've taken her already as a wife. It's just like it works. It's just like it works. So for me and Maud, we set the score only after a period of time. I said to her, the kids are now all in school. Why don't you come and help me here with the Bible school? She came and helped me. Then ultimately she started teaching biblical history of Israel and so on. She went through all those subjects with me through the years. She got more and more, and to this day we are two that are one. To this day I go to the church leaders in many places, because I speak to church leaders and I have done so. And I say to those church leaders, and I remember I went down there with the Indian community in Natal, and I said to Allah, Waar is jullie vrouwens? Where's your wives? Why are you here and your wife's not here? Why don't you involve your wife? Because these two, in the sight of God, there's one. Half of you are here. Where's the other half? I don't talk to half people. I talk to full people. Complete people. If you're a complete believer, your wife is a godly woman, then why are you as a church leader leaving your wife there in the back seat, you in the front seat, and then you walk up on the platform and you're only the lonely up there? And soon you get some of situations where you find in the church world where snowflake comes along. And you know, and your wife is not there to clunk you. I protect my wife. She protects me. Give the Lord a praise offering. That's wedding. That's marriage. Listen to this. Now listen. Husbands, love your wives. This is Ephesians 5:25, by the way. Husband, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. And by the way, that word love there is from the word agapo or agape, which means with a God kind of sacrificial love. That you do any offering for her, you make any sacrifice. After all, she's your covenant partner right through life. And she's at my side day and night. I just don't go nowhere without Maud. Everywhere you'll find me, you'll find. I even have a drive for me. She's a good driver, by the way. She drives like a man. Amen. Those Indians in the hotel, they love me. I get along with them so much. I go down there, I've got the Kwamashu Zulu choir come sing for me, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and then they come and they have a car there. They've now organized, I don't know who, from BMW South Africa, big black BMW, the biggest one of the lot. There's the flagship for you to drive this weekend with the compliments of BMW South Africa. I said, my wife will drive. The guy looks at me. He says, you don't want to? No. I say, she drives like a man. Try her out. She's good. And she is. I can fall asleep when she's driving, but not with anybody else. I just don't sleep in the car. You know. Okay. Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now the metaphor, or the analogy, if you will, the parable, if you will, is Christ and the church. Paul would later on say, I speak a mystery, but I speak regarding Christ and the church. Christ and the church. Christ and the church. So if you're married, compare yourself in your relationship of marriage to your relationship with Christ and the church, if you're part of the body of Christ. Now the bridegroom, listen to me now, the bridegroom, I'm talking about Jesus now, will not neglect his bride. He will not, like some theologians would say, he will not subject her to the great tribulation and all that stuff, the tribulation, great tribulation, 7.5 year period, Daniel chapter number 9, verse 24 to 27. He's not going to punish her. We will be delivered from the wrath which is to come. Romans chapter number, 5. I think it's about verse 12. No, it's just before 12, about 8. Where he says, how much more shall we not be saved from the wrath which is to come by the blood of Jesus? And again, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, we will also be protected. 2 Thessalonians 2, we will be protected from the wrath which is to come. Why? Because you are married to another. Even Jesus Christ takes care of you. He's washed you with his blood. Who can make a bigger sacrifice for his wife? I didn't do that for my wife. And I say, well, I've got my account. Hoeveel het jy in jou rekening? Nou is my geheim. And you know what? I've got a couple of investments. Daar's enetjie daar, en enetjie daar, en enetjie daar, en nog enetjie daar. En kyk nou, my beursie is leeg. No, wife, you know, I actually haven't got much money. Meantime, I've got much hieronder deur, wat weggesteek is. Would you listen to me? Do you want the power of God to flow on your marriage? Begin by praying with your wife. Begin by praying with your wife. Begin by fellowshipping with the Lord as one. Begin by saying, Lord God Almighty, one shall put 1,000 to flight as we preach when we do marriages, and two will put 10,000 to flight. So the moment we pray together, there's a tenfold multiplication of our prayer power. Can you say amen? Well, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Amen. You know, this is such a very powerful section of scripture, and I want to really go on. And I said tonight, I'll pray for the people for whatever, and I'll do that. Oh. As Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for her. Now, I don't belong to myself. First and foremost, we all belong to God. But in marriage, my body belongs to Maud, and the same vice versa. We're a married couple. We think together. Where I miss something, she's extra eyes, extra ears, extra arms, extra legs. She takes care of that, I take care of that. Together we synergize our energy forward, and we have a singular impact. If there's a pastor's meeting here at Little Falls Christian Center, our group of churches, then the person that's sitting next to you is my wife. I don't go without her. I don't travel nowhere with her, without her. that he might sanctify and cleanse her, the bride of Christ, which is us, with the washing of water by the word. Do you know that the word of God cleanses your life, cleanses your soul? You get plenty of opportunity to get other stuff in your head, but cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's got a mission to cleanse her by the power of the word, and in the last days the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the word of God as the waters cover the sea. And the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. As the word of God comes flooding into our lives, our marriages improve. And things that we do wrong, the Holy Spirit gets hold of us. We go pray, alone or together. The Holy Spirit gets hold of you. The fear of the Lord makes you turn away from it. Marriage is a most holy situation. It shall be so. I've always said it, and I'm saying it again. I'm a one-woman man. She is to me, after the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, she's the most valuable person on the planet for me, my wife. And I will not take another woman. If she should go before me, I will not, I'm not interested, because I had a very honorable wife. I'm going to close here. I'm really into a thing. I think I must continue with this tonight. You want me to continue with this tonight? Oh, yeah, man. How many of you want me? Do you want me to continue with this tonight? And then I think we can pray for the marriages tonight in this place. Maar weet ek het jou gesê dit nie is jou skuld nie. Dit is jou skuld. Nee, is jou skuld. Kyk nou net wat maak jy. Nee, get on your knees and begin to pray together and stop that nonsense. Don't criticize other people. Look at yourself before God. Bow your knees. Submit to the Holy God and submit your marriage to Him. When this comes in place, you know what? We had a marriage. But when I started studying the Word of God, I had marriage. Now, for the first time, now some 40 years plus back, marriage became marriage. That's the way it is. Now the Lord gets hold of you. And as al die goggetjies by die deurheid is, dan kom jy uit by 'n plek waar jy sê, hallelujah. I couldn't do without her. I couldn't do without her. Amen. And this thing is called holy matrimony. In the modern day society, they have holy perversion. Unholy perversion, should I say. Beshnavrachita heel is Joseph. I will stop there, forcefully stopping myself, because I want to talk to you and bring you to a revelation of what you have. How many of you are married in this place? Miss your hands right now. Now, you married people, give the Lord a praise offering right now. Amen. And also, you married people, and those, how many of you, are there people here that are engaged? Daar, veel geluk, lieve Maaikie. Daar achter in die kerk. They're engaged. You betrothed to someone. Let me tell you, all you married partners, you really need to rediscover what you have in your wife or in your husband. And if your husband doesn't want to come to church to listen to this, because now I'm going to do this, I'm changing direction, for the purpose, I'll still pray for the sick and spend a lot of time on that, and whatever, we'll minister in the spirit. But I will talk about an issue that is an issue in the body of Christ, because it's always this and this and this and this, instead of husband, love your wives. And by the way, one day a minister's wife phoned me and she says, but you know, it doesn't say that women ought to love their husbands. I say to her, Dalia Bible Danabe, my extant here, I've got the cord on the telephone, and I'm thinking, there's my letter. Ask her something and let her talk. So I quickly put the phone down, ran. I said, now I'm going to read you a verse. Do you want to read a verse about women having to love their husbands? Now, this is beautiful. The older women are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor addicted to alcohol or much drinking or wine, teaching what is right and good, so that they, here's the verse, Titus 2 and 4, I quoted to that pastor's wife, and it was the end of this conversation on the telephone, because she said, no, you know, women are not told to love their husbands. Oh, yes. So that they may encourage the young woman to tenderly love their husbands and their children. Everybody say, tenderly love. Tenderly. Amen. Yesterday, I had a spot of tender love when my... She brought me a sweet. But she had the first part of the sweet. Ek weet nou nie wie die meeste gekry nie, half of quarter. Now better watch it, I won't get no sweets anymore. Will you stand, give Jesus a praise offering, everybody. Hallelujah. I can't. Now, what Maud is saying, the young people must therefore come tonight. It'll be an encounter. Dis as jy getroud is en jy wil getroud bly. How many of you want to remain married, faithful, loyal and blessed? I'll see you tonight then. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you, lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to one to you. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all God's people said, Amen. Love you all. See you tonight.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.